The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Once again, you're listening to America Speaks Out on the FlyPod.com New Media Network. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, and today we're coming to you from our new Westchester studio. If you're listening online right now, well, that's wonderful. If you're catching us through one of our many syndication partners or hyper-syndication platforms, cool. Our media distribution system is designed for portable media devices, so when you hear somebody say you can't take it with you, that's absolutely not true. Whatever you have in your pocket in the way of a portable media device, it should do. We are living proof of media versatility in this new content-driven world. Regardless of all that, we're glad to have you listening in. Visit our website directly when you have a chance, www.theflypod.com. We have a nationwide network of 35 show hosts, and we podcast a wide variety of programs. Some pretty interesting stuff out there. Daily, to thousands of small communities across the United States, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. When it comes to the media, we are what's next. Well, once again, my guests are Alex Parnuk and Marianne Stanley. On this episode of America Speaks Out, we will have a general discussion on the subject of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and I openly acknowledge that these wars cannot be covered topically in a 30-minute show, but what I'm hoping to discover is how the positions and opinions are different between a person coming from a liberal point of view and a person coming from a more conservative point of view. I believe this is the most we can hope to discover in this episode of America Speaks Out. Marianne, Alex, welcome back to Westchester Studio.
Thank you, Gary.
Hey, Marianne, how's it going?
Good, Alex.
For the benefit of new listeners joining us for the first time, I will point out that Alex is a pretty conservative guy, while Marianne is more of a liberal individual. They both acknowledge that, proud of it. Let me ask you both, for the benefit of our new listeners, is that a fair general description?
I think so.
I stand by my conservatism. I have no problem with that.
Well, then we're off and running here. Well, let's begin our discussion with the Iraq War. First off, what's your opinion of the process by which the decision was made by the United States to go into Iraq?
First of all, I'd like to ask Marianne, are you one of those that call it Bush's War?
No, I haven't even heard it called Bush's War.
Oh, well, that's a common
Must
name.
Be a, well, that's a spun name again you hear.
Well, I guess the media says it an awful lot. But the only problem I'd ask there is that was it a righteous war or an unrighteous war, in your opinion, Marianne, as far as getting into it?
I have to answer it this way. I don't think any war is righteous. I think we're at a time in history with our nuclear arsenal that is way beyond what we need to destroy our world many times over. We're sitting at the edge of climate change and destruction of our planet anyway, and that again is being deemed a fake issue, which is not. I used to teach environmental ethics since the 80s, and we are going down fast as a world. We need to be binding together to find ways to survive. So any war right now that destroys people needlessly, that disrupts cultures, that hurts families, that leaves depleted uranium behind to poison and cause cancer in the people who managed to survive, who takes out civilians, which we like to call collateral damage, as though they don't have hearts and brains and family members, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers. So, no, it's not a justifiable war, to answer
well,
your question.
Well, then I says, we are a country of laws. We are a country of process, and that process is the Congress of the United States. And I would point out to you that we were attacked on 9/11. And there was a reason for that attack, because a certain group of people decided that they were, for whatever reason, standing in their own ideology, they felt that we needed to be attacked. So there had to be some kind of a response. And that response was metered by the Congress of the United States making a decision to authorize the President of the United States to use whatever force necessary. In fact, if I might quote here, the authorization for use of military force, use the armed forces of the United States as he, Mr. Bush, the President of the United States at that time, determines to be necessary and appropriate against Iraq and the invasion that finally ensued back in 2003. So, I mean, if you want to say anything, but it was a conglomeration of congressmen and senators and specialty people from CIA and intelligence people that came up with the information that said, look, there is a distinct possibility and probability that there are going to be weapons of mass destruction in this country, and we cannot allow that in the Middle East. That's what we responded to, and the attack on us and 9/11.
And as you said three different things there. I don't even know which one to address first, frankly, Alex. We can't allow nuclear weapons in the Middle East. India's got them. Pakistan's got them. Israel's got them. Come on. So that's baloney. Number two, we weren't threatened by Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein, by the way, Iraq and Afghanistan, the two countries we attacked, we didn't have a war there. You have to have a standing army against another army to have a war. We didn't have a war. We had two invasions of foreign countries that had their own countries, their own right, their own sovereignty. And so what we had, and I can tell you this because my son at the time was a captain in the Air Force, as I used to serve as a medic in the Air Force during Vietnam, and my father served in the Air Force too. So I'm very patriotic, but I got to tell you, my son had his duffel bag and his Kevlar vest and everything else because he's a medical doctor, an ER doc, and he was being sent over there to Iraq. At the same time, we were watching Bush on the TV set in his living room. He had orders to go, and we were being told on the TV during the news program by George W. Bush that we're still pursuing every peaceful means. We're hoping that diplomacy will work. We're hoping that Saddam Hussein, you know, it was baloney.
And Marianne, come on.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I need to know why you would say Marianne, come on, when I just
because,
told you
because
a
factual of the very
thing.
Fact, you have to understand that when a country goes to war and makes preparation, it has to tell its troops to get ready. It has to tell its troops that you need this, this, and that kind of equipment. And behind the scenes or diplomatically, they could be trying to resolve the issue. One of the things that they were determining was they wanted certain items from the country and was to deliver to U.S. all the leaders of al-Qaeda, release all imprisoned foreign nationals, close immediately every terrorist training camp. That was one of the primary reasons we went in there. And yet you can't say that on television you were watching George Bush say he's going to do this and try to negotiate and everything else like this, and on the other hand, your son was getting ready to go. That's just prudent process.
No, I'm sorry. I've been in the military. I don't know if you have or not. No, you don't have standing orders. You don't have the orders and the flight and the time you're leaving when they're still hoping not to go. So, no, there's a disconnect there. And here's the other thing. If you're talking about us being attacked, first of all, no, it wasn't an attack by Iraq. It wasn't an attack by Afghanistan. There weren't Afghanis and Iraqis there. Those were Saudi Arabians. Why didn't we go attack Saudi Arabia?
They were terrorists.
No, wait a minute. Why didn't we attack the people who attacked us? In other words, again, are we buying into the crap we've been fed? There was no reason to go and attack innocent people. And we went in and we attacked innocent people, over a million people dead, that didn't belong dead, shouldn't be dead, in both Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're still killing innocent people. So I'm sorry, but you don't go and attack somebody just on a whim, as we said. It's kind of a preventative thing. It's, you know, you don't do that. You do that in medicine. If you think you're going to get cancer, you may take out some organ you might not need. But you don't go and attack other countries any more than we would accept it. If we were attacked, how's this? If say, Germany were attacked by Australia, and they come and they bomb us, what is the point?
I don't understand that.
I'll make it simple for you.
Australia.
If you attack a country who didn't have anything to do with attacking your country.
But that's not the case, because there were terrorist camps there, and they had intelligence of what the prospects were with respect to Saddam Hussein, and just for Iraq.
They had nothing on Saddam Hussein. They wanted him out. You know, we educated that man and put him in power.
Well, I understand
it. We educated and put in power Osama bin Laden,
then
too.
You're telling me that all of the intelligence that they had, and when they took the vote in Congress, that people like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden were wrong. They had the same intelligence that Bush had and the intelligence services provided to both sides, and they voted for the United States going to war, the authorized military activity.
Actually, they didn't have authorization to go to war. The Patriot Act, for instance, was put into effect. This was a document that was humongous. They threw it on their desk at 4 a.m. in the morning and asked them to vote on it by 9 a.m. You can't do that kind of thing. To have a Patriot Act, it stands for some amazing thing.
That's separate from the war, Marianne.
This whole thing is internal. This whole thing all had to do with our creating enemies where there were none, with the executive branch taking power it did not have. the wars are not supposed to be declared by the president coming in and saying, we're going to do this war and you guys go along with me or not. He didn't have authorization from the Congress initially.
What do you... Come on now, Marianne. Look, when we were attacked, okay, in 2001, and they turned right around in September 20th, stated that Osama bin Laden was behind the attacks, okay? They knew right away. There were points as far as where the terrorist camps were going on, and they turned around, and what they did is they went and got authorization from the Congress of the United States. It was House Joint Resolution 114. The House passed it 296 to 133, and the Senate passed it 77 to 23. Hillary Clinton, Charlie Schumer from New York, Feinstein from California, Chris Dodd, Massachusetts, Biden, Delaware, all voted yes.
Do you have date? Do you have the date that was passed?
It was passed on October the 10th and 11th, 2002. The House passed these resolutions, okay?
2002.
And 2002, because they were working their way up there because they were building up the intelligence.
You can't have a war. That's the thing.
It's not a war. It's an action authorizing the president to do certain things.
He needed to be authorized way before that from when it began back in 2001. And that's what we were saying. Historically speaking, the president cannot declare a war.
No, he doesn't declare
Congress
war.
Is supposed to do that.
That's
and they
correct.
Did not do it. So the war, this invasion, well, you call it what you want, we are killing people, continued on for a year before it was actually authorized. So, you know, there's so much in our government. Again, you know, and here's where I think we're on the same side of the page in a way, and yet we've been taught in a way to believe things based on which side we're sitting on that makes it seem as though we're against each other. And we both, I think, are seeing an overreaching by government. That's what's part of the Tea Party. That's what I think liberals see. We have a government that is dysfunctional and not operational. And doing these wars, doing these invasions, I don't know how you feel about the drone attacks either, but this kind of thing, this kind of militarization, even of our police forces, I'd like to know what you think about it all.
See, now you're bringing in the Patriot Act and some of the actions as far as Homeland Security. Let's just finish up with this Iraq war and Afghanistani actions. Both actions, they are not wars. They are actions that are authorized by the Congress of the United States to solve a problem, okay? In the case of Iraq, it was this fear and this intelligence they had with weapons of mass destruction. With respect to Afghanistan, it was because of the very fact that there were training camps going on there, and it was the harbinger of Osama bin Laden at the time and all of these training camps. So you have to come up to a solution, and the solution was to go in and act on it.
Let me interject here and kind of turn things more in the direction of Afghanistan, which continues on still today. The Afghanistan war is still very active. In your view, can the Afghanistan war be any more or less justified than the Iraq war in its proximity to and in the harboring of these terrorist groups as it relates to Pakistan and Afghanistan and their proximity? Can they be any more or less justified? And I'd like to ask you that and throw that out. Marianne, would you like to start out with that?
Sure. I don't think either war is justified, obviously. I think that both of them were an excuse for America to have a presence over in the Mideast. For one thing, a lot of our oil and resources have been coming from the Mideast, and we wanted to be able to be there and to control our own resources. We have the sense of exceptionalism and the sense of right. You know, that we should be able to go where we go and do what we want to do, whether we're creating, you know, sweatshops in China and India in order to sell products here. It doesn't matter. I mean, we kind of believe in ourselves and we can go where we want, do what we want. So, no, I don't think either one of them is justified. And here's the thing, is harboring terrorist camps, there is nothing. I mean, you can take a third grader, and a third grader knows that if he walks up to somebody, hits him in the face and says, there, now you're going to let me alone. That ain't the way it works. That's not what happens.
Now, was he a bully first?
The person, we're the bully.
No. And
I'm finishing my scenario. Wait a minute. So he walks up to, and he's going to get hit back, and this guy's going to come back with more of his friends. And then they're going to create more of their friends. And this is what gangs are. This is what war is. This is what we're creating enemies. So for every terrorist, supposed terrorist, which in their country they probably call a patriot, for every terrorist we kill, you're going to have 20 replacing them. The terrorist camps are all over the Mideast.
Let me finish. How do we then respond to terrorism, Marianne?
You talk to people.
They've been doing that.
No. Show me where.
To get back to your point with respect to Iraq, when you were telling me about how everything was prepared for that whole year, they were trying to resolve the issue. They were given Saddam Hussein opportunity after opportunity to come clean, to get rid of these items, to try to, and he kept just changing it on and on and on, putting it off. That's the same thing that's going on in Afghanistan right now.
Well, let me ask you this. If neither war is justified, as you're suggesting, Marianne, what do you believe should have been different in how America reacted or responded to the whole 9/11 terrorist attack? What should the United States have done?
We should have been a leader. We used to be a leader.
We used to show
restraint. We used to show diplomacy. We used to show higher thinking. We used to show philosophical thinking. We used to show respect for all mankind. Our whole Statue of Liberty sits there and declares that we are a nation that accepts people, a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of thinkers, a nation of innovators. And so what we could have done is go in there and say, let me think about this. You know, let me think about this. What would be the best response to this? First of all, who did it? Maybe if they'd even taken the time to really discover who did it. The motivation for it, everything, even in a murder case, you don't have a murder unless you have a motive. The motive is what tells you who the criminal is. What are their motives? People said, oh, they're jealous of us. Oh, baloney. You know, look, see if you can get to some motives. What have we done? What have we done elsewhere in the world? What have we done to their family? What have we done to their neighborhoods or their country, you know, with our policies? So, you know, the United States is not the Virgin Mary. It is not a pure nation. We need to know our history, and we are the most illiterate, uneducated people in the entire industrialized world as far as knowing history and knowing our role in it and the role of other nations.
You still haven't answered my question. What do we do with this terrorism? And you say, well, we caused this. Tell you what, why did they attack us? I mean, they didn't attack us because they want our resources. They attacked us because there seems to be something in their psyche, those people that are called terrorists, that were supported by Saddam Hussein, that were supported by the regime that was in Afghanistan and in parts of Pakistan, although I don't think we should go there. But they attacked us because of an ideology. I think it was you that says terrorism is an ideology. Well, that ideology stands totally 180 degrees away from us. I mean, you talk about women. Well, of course, they have no rights in these countries. And yet here we are, this Statue of Liberty, which is a woman and has all the rights in the world, even though we can argue that for some of the other things that you brought up in the past. But the point of their philosophy of life is contrary to our philosophy of life. They saw within what we were doing something that they didn't like, and one of the things related to Israel. And that's one of the reasons they attacked us, because of our position with Israel and our support of Israel in the Middle East.
But Alex, if you could answer my question about what should America's reaction have been to 9/11?
Oh, I can tell you easily. It should have been the same. We are making the same mistake here that we made in Vietnam. And one of the mistakes that we are making is trying to induce ground forces into a situation that should not have ground forces in it, because there is a way of respecting the integrity of a country.
Are you a vet?
I am a vet, and I spent some time in Vietnam.
Okay.
When you turned around, and when we initially started the Vietnam War, we only had advisors, and then Mr. Johnson escalated it to an extreme that it shouldn't have been. When we started with Iraq, I don't think we had a choice in the matter, because we, through negotiations and external sources of other countries talking, there was no resolution to it. It was necessary to come in. But in Afghanistan, when we started originally with small groups of soldiers going in there, working in the field, working with the Afghanis, they welcomed us. Today, we aren't welcome. The reason being is because they foresee that we are trying to change their society. Whether you like it or not, they do have a type of society that are all completely succinct with and in line with, but it's different than ours. Marianne, you talked about the war and all that, and how it shouldn't have gotten into it. But the point of view, what are we going to do? And how we respond to terrorism is a reflection of our society. And we have to protect our society by allowing people to do these things off country, train, and basically turn these people into like robotons, I guess, because anybody that can take bombs and explosives and strap them on their body and blow themselves up, that is not America. You have to respond in some way. And as they say, as the military would say, they would rather fight over there than over here, but not to the extent of making the forces the same size that we have today. We're too many soldiers there right now.
Let me shift gears here a little bit. You know, in the past, especially during the Vietnam War, every night at supper, people could see all the gritty details what was going on in the Vietnam War right on the face of their television set as they ate supper. And this war is different. We really don't see as much of it. We don't hear as much reporting about it. And something unique also about both Iraq and Afghanistan compared to, let's say, Vietnam, is the casualty rates are extraordinarily less in both of these wars than they were in Vietnam. There's been a lot of advancements in technology, and I'd like to ask you what you think about what I've just described in the contrast between Vietnam versus these two latest wars.
I think that's just because we have something to hide. I think, again, under George Bush, he wouldn't allow the photography, and he would only embed media with the troops where they could be watched. They weren't independent anymore. We've lost the independent media. We have lost the ability of the public to be able to know. Our right to know has been taken away from us. We used to be able to see, like you said, Vietnam on TV every night. And we'd look for our loved ones or the people we knew there. Nobody even knows. Nobody gives it a thought. There are guys over there right now being blown apart, and nobody gives it a second thought. And yet, we're very careful to call everybody a hero, and they're not. And that irks me, too. They're heroes. Oh, our troops. You know what? These are people generally from the lower classes, again, who are being sent out to do a rich man's war, to make money for the contractors, to make money for people who are near and dear to the corporate hearts and to the government hearts. But at what expense? And here's the reason we don't see as many casualties. We've still got 5,000-6,000 American dead, but we have so many that are blown apart, and there's a new wound, I can't think what they call it, but my son, like I said, he's an ER doc, and it takes off the legs and the genitals. These are young men. So while we can talk about 5,000 or 6,000 people, gee, it's not as bad as the 58,000 in Vietnam, we're talking about lives, hundreds of thousands of lives blown apart, literally, and 80% of these people coming back have PTSD. So there's domestic abuse, there's child abuse, there is suicide rate that is out of this world. So, you know, these wars are devastating, and I think that that's the big thing. We should be talking to people. We cannot make them our enemies. They may not be like us, but they are also not different than us.
Well, we should be handling this war differently. I agree with you. I don't think our soldiers should be handled the way they are, especially with the number of times that these people are rotated into country. That is killing our process. And one of the reasons it's doing that is because the expansion of the war, in especially under this president, with the number of people that have gone, instead of having maybe 5,000 or 10,000 people, we've got 30,000, 50,000 people in country. And they're reusing our National Guard units. It's just really despicable. However, I will argue with you on this point of seeing it in the media, because if you take a look in 2008 when the election was going on, every single night they were showing something from one of the wars somewhere else in the United States. They were having lists of soldiers that were being killed and everything else like this. And here we are in an election in the year 2012. You don't see any of that on the media. You don't see it on Fox. You don't see it on MSNBC. You don't see it on CNN, CBC, CNN or NBC. Why? Because of the very fact of who is in there, which stands in contrast to how you say that the media is being controlled by groups of people and things like that. That stands in the face of what you said before with respect to how the media is being controlled by the conservatives, because it's not being controlled. Otherwise, it would be a whole different media out there and a different kind of programming.
I think I missed your point there, because to me, it's very obvious to me that under Bush, that's when we quit seeing the war itself happening. It just wasn't on the news anymore.
You didn't watch the same programs I did, because I make sure to watch MSNBC, CNN, and NBC. In 2008, when the election was going on, it was on every night. They had lists of casualties and everything else, telling us how many people were killed. That is not being shown on television today. And that's the media that you say is controlled by, I guess, the conservative movement.
Okay, and I'm just saying we quit meeting the planes when they came back as soon as George W. stepped in.
Mary Ann, Alex, I want to thank you both once again for coming on my show today. I also would like to point out to our listeners that any American citizen is welcome to come on a future episode of America Speaks Out and express their own opinions and ideas about any particular topic of the day. The FlyPod is a network of neutral stance. So regardless of your point of view or your political affiliation, We care not. It makes no difference to us. So to be on the show, contact us by email back in the control studio, shout@theflypod.com. Now, regardless of where you're contacting us from in the country, we will have you on the show and podcast it directly back into your own local community. Well, that is my show for today from Westchester Studio. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, coming free and clear to your iPod or MP3 player through the New Media Network program feeds of www.theflypod.com. Until next time, thank you so very much for listening in.